Actually, I feel it was kind of prayer also, and maybe reflecting upon that longing that we, you and I, have in our hearts when we talk about Holy Spirit. This is the season of the Holy Spirit, and 2 weeks ago we celebrated the day of Pentecost. Even today is the first Sunday of a so-called ordinary season in the life of the church. But I'm just worried sometimes if it gets too ordinary in the church, what's going to happen? So when we talk about the Holy Spirit and all that He can do and He's doing among us and in this world, I think it's sometimes very extraordinary, something special that He can create among us and through our lives as well as we serve Him. So I penciled it down, my sermon title, sometimes earlier this week, past week, Are We Longing for Power? And you understand I'm not talking about any other kind of power, but the power that Holy Spirit gives us to be true disciples in this world, to be true followers of Jesus, and to be part of God's kingdom through the local church. That's the power we are talking about. In our profession together, when we profess our faith to Apostles' Creed, we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit. And that's a deep conviction, that is a deep commitment to say that as we professing our Trinitarian faith in the Father, in the Son, in the Holy Spirit. But friends, I believe it's much easier to say that I believe in the Holy Spirit than to say I follow the Holy Spirit in everything I do. And I want to follow Holy Spirit in all that I do, anywhere I serve. Because the Holy Spirit, according to Bible and what our Lord teaches to us, is God's presence in the life of the church. It is God's presence in the life of the church. And here's something what I have learned and I have seen recently. You may say, yeah, I have seen it too, or you may say, well, I haven't seen that. But here's the thing. I've been involved in the ministry for a little while now, and I have made some friends in the community always when I go, some preacher colleagues and Christian leaders and servants. So I don't want to say that I spend my time entertaining my colleagues here in town, because I don't do that much. But when you have opportunity to have a lunch or a little chat with two or three pastors from different denominations, and then we just recently had our annual conference in Owensboro, Kentucky. So here's what I have seen. Unfortunately, we can look at any direction across the denominational lines. If not directly, but between the lines, you hear this from your colleagues and from church members. What they see powerless Christianity, powerless spirituality, weak spirituality. And some people don't realize it, because that's all they have seen all their life. But some people who have experienced a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit know that something is missing. Something is missing. What I mean by saying powerless, I mean no power to witness, no power to pray, no power or motivation for church whatsoever, even attending a church. You see that everyone, everywhere you look, you see the same phenomenon. It is not just the one denomination or one church, but across the denominational line. I just talked to one of the pastors here in town, pastoring a so-called non-denominational church. I believe their church is about 20 years old. And he said, Timo, we see that happening. I said, well, you are new church, you just started. Well, he said, "Not, we are not all that new, we started 20 years ago in this community. And now he said there are new churches coming in, and non-denominational independent churches, and they believe we are the old church. We've been here for 20 years. I said, I hate to ask who we are then. We've been here 100 years in this community, how old we are. But we are looking to be another 100 years, am I right? Well, if Jesus comes back before that, it's okay with us. But we are looking to be here for a long time. If you hear somebody saying in town that Methodist Church is dead, don't believe, that's wrong. That's wrong statement. It is not. It's very much alive. Very much alive. Now, if there is a church in the community, it is because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Presence of the Holy Spirit. So it is with you and I. If we are spiritually alive, we are alive because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. There's something going on in your heart, and that's the presence of the Holy Spirit. When we sin, when we sense God's calling or leading us, that's the Holy Spirit. When we feel that God is challenging us, we've been in that as a Berea UMC, as we've been walking through this envisioning plan and feasibility process, and now something is going to be brought before us, and we need to discern which way we go. Obviously, we are going forward, but is there some specifics around there as we walk alongside with the Lord? When we feel that God has supported us, when He has comforted us, we say that it is the Holy Spirit at work, and surely, yes, it is. And when you are prayerfully doing something and you surrender your plans, everything you are under His guidance, you better believe that you are expecting help and guidance from Him. So what we don't want to do afterwards, if you're praying guidance for your family and for your personal life, for your church, and then after receiving the guidance, you start questioning whether this was from God at all. I think that's all kind of funny thing. We shouldn't be questioning. We've been asking guidance from the Lord, and then He lays out something before us, and then we say, no, it is probably not the one I was looking for. Maybe not. But obviously, it is from the Lord. By the way, in Hebrew, the words for spirit, I just check it out, in Hebrew language, is kind of comparable to our words in English, wind and breath. It's nearly the same. Sometimes using the word breath of God, and sometimes using the wind of God. It is the same thing in Greek language with the New Testament written. Wind and breath. Jesus was using the word wind here in his conversation with Nicodemus, who was the head Pharisee and the head teacher in the religious community and synagogue. In trying to describe God's activity among them, the ancient Christian and ancient God-fearing people were saying that it was like a God's breath, like sacred wind, blowing through us and being among us. And everybody knew that they were talking about the presence of the Holy Spirit. It could not be held. Hard to explain it. But everybody knew and were certain it was God's Spirit. Like Jesus says, the wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. Jesus is describing the process of the moment of spiritual birth. We call it born again experience. Hard to explain it. When I was a young fellow and I accepted Christ into my heart, that was a very simple prayer in my little apartment back in Helsinki. But next morning I knew, and there's nobody around me convicting me and saying that, you are now a Christian believer. There's nobody around. But I knew next morning, I was certain that my life belongs to Jesus Christ. Even the whole city of Helsinki had been put upside down. I knew that now I belong to Jesus. It was the work of the Holy Spirit, am I right? Same thing it is with you, my friend. Holy Spirit gives you that assurance and is leading that process when you commit your heart to Christ. But the effect of God's Spirit, like the wind, could be felt and known personally. Personally. Where do we find the evidence of the Holy Spirit working at the church? Here at Berea UMC. Let me ask you this. What is the power of the Holy Spirit that we are talking about and longing for? What is the power of the Holy Spirit? Well, it is in the Bible. It is in the Word. That is where it's offered to us. When you next time open your Bible, you start reading verse by verse, word by word. Holy Spirit comes upon you. He is your teacher right there, leading you and explaining you if you surrender to Him and filling your heart and life. And then Holy Spirit, according to Bible, has been from the beginning. We read in Genesis, actually the first chapter and second verse, a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. He was already there in creation narrative. He was part of the creation from the beginning to the very, very end. Later in the Old Testament, by the way, we often read of Him describing the Holy Spirit like the Spirit of the Lord. And in Matthew's account, in Jesus' baptism, you remember, Jesus saw, and everybody was witnessing His baptism, how the Spirit of God was descending like a dove and alighting on Him, alighting in on Him, coming down and descending upon Jesus Christ. And Jesus, I feel sorry for Him because it seemed like He didn't have much time to celebrate His baptism, inviting His family and friends. I got baptized, let's celebrate, this is a big thing. No, the Bible says that after that, Jesus was sent up to the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. That was a sad way to celebrate baptism. But it can happen, am I right? Sometimes after high experiences, mountaintop experiences, we end up being in the middle of struggles and battlefield and personal challenges to deal with. After His resurrection, Christ told His disciples, this is message to us this morning at Berea UMC and friends who are with us through Facebook, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. It doesn't say that except Jimmy, who is sitting far corner, we count you out, or Mary here up front, or somebody here that please exclude, you are not included. No, it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And that is our hope, friends. Everyone here in the sanctuary. A few weeks later, on the day of Pentecost, this came to pass according to reading. Listen to this. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. This is Acts of Apostles chapter 2:2-4. As the book of Acts and then later Apostle Paul's letters attest, from that time on, the early Christians, the early church, they were vividly aware that it was the Holy Spirit who is leading the church. So let me make an official announcement to you if you are wondering who is leading this church here. Holy Spirit is leading our church, amen? Holy Spirit is leading, we all servants to Him. It is Holy Spirit who is leading this church. This is not Pastor Timo's church or Assistant Pastor Mary's church or your church who are active here. We appreciate you. This is Holy Spirit leading, led by the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit is leading Christ's church toward what? To the second coming of Christ. Helping us to get involved in world evangelism. Sometimes nowadays you hear about predictions about the end. The end will be August 1st, and the end will be July 30th, and it will be next year in January, the end. All kinds of predictions. To us Christians, it is not going to be end when Jesus comes at his second coming, parousia. It is going to be the beginning. It's going to be the beginning, not the end. So we Christians, we are not waiting for the end, but we are waiting for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Any amen on that? Amen. All right. So where do we need the power of the Holy Spirit? You say, well, Timo, that's just a common thing. We need him for everything. We need him for everything. We need him for guidance and comfort and strength and for healing. As a pastor, I try to visit as much as I can, and I'm sure the church, you know that we have lots of people on sick list. And I can say that some of them are desperately waiting for the healing that comes from the Lord. The first thing in the morning is to ask healing. And the last prayer they go, when they go to bed is, Lord, you might just heal me. I have been waiting for you for so long time. Holy Spirit is our healer, whether it's a physical healing or spiritual healing, mental healing, whatever healing it is, emotional healing, he is the healer. Today we continue to experience God's breath by the power of the Holy Spirit. I have those moments in the life of the church. I feel it here today. As one of our creeds in the United Methodist Church, we put it this way. Listen to this. Listen to what we believe as United Methodists. We believe in the Holy Spirit, God present with us for guidance, for comfort, and for strength, and for healing. For healing. Strength and comfort. Should we add excitement and passion? It comes a little bit later. Let's go forward with this. So we sense the Spirit in time along, like you, I have sensed it. You don't really need anybody because you have God alone and you have Holy Spirit ministering to your heart and you feel you are partially already in heaven. Or when you pray, and when you study the Word of God, maybe by yourself, maybe with your spouse, maybe with your Bible study group, little group, or Sunday school class. In reflection, or you are reflecting on a difficult decision, or in the memory of a loved one, some of you may have lost, like we have, church family members. When you are trying to make decisions, you just feel that you don't have no tools, no power, no wisdom to do it, then you just surrender to the Holy Spirit. You ask, Holy Spirit, please guide me now. Or your heart is broken for some reason. And you feel that your life is in thousands of different pieces. You ask the healer to show up, to bring you back together. The Spirit's touch is intensely personal. It's very personal. Some may get so very excited, and some go even be more quiet than ever be. Just feel his presence, his tender touch and presence in your heart. And perhaps when you are waiting his presence for healing, maybe some of you here this morning, or somebody at home, you are just waiting for healing. Or you are more aware about the Holy Spirit and need for the Holy Spirit in your life, in the community, maybe at your home, maybe exactly in our church. you just feel that longing. And when there is longing, guess what? There's going to be fulfillment. It is God who put that longing for your heart. And next step will be fulfillment to your longing. Somehow the Holy Spirit speaks through the thoughtful and loving interaction of God's people. It is happening here once in a while, I'm sure. Every Sunday. It happened here this morning. I felt that it was so good to be here. Lots of laughter and sharing and talking and children running back and forth. That's what church is all about. That is what it's all about. The Holy Spirit who brought the church into being is still guiding and upholding it if we still believe in Him and listen to Him. So what is the power of the Holy Spirit? It is the gifts we receive from Him. How does the Holy Spirit affect our lives? By changing us, by transforming us. Sometimes we work hard to change somebody, am I right? Have you already given up? I see some spouses looking at each other. Good luck on that. But the true change within us comes from the Holy Spirit. You see men and women changed. That's the beauty of His work. By renewing us, by strengthening us of the work of God's ministry. That's where we need the Holy Spirit. And that's where He's available. Listen to this. Jesus was talking about the fruits. He said, "You will know them by the fruits." He was referring to us, His followers. If you are not quite sure He's going to Berea UMC, just check it out. See the fruits. It's the fruits. What sort of fruit? Paul actually asserts that the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Wow, what a list. Can you squeeze all this out from yourself? You say, no, I can't. Maybe a little bitty here and there, but you need Holy Spirit to empower that, to bring those fruits through your life, in your heart. What about gifts? You say, well, I was born with all the gifts. Well, you must be very special. I'm sure you are, but the rest of us have very few gifts. And when we are talking about spiritual gifts, they are not natural gifts that you were born with. And you appreciate, and we appreciate your gifts. Paul says, writes in the about the spirits, how Holy Spirit bestows spiritual gifts on believers. Remember in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, he lists 9. Of course, these vary from one person to another, but Paul talks about the utterance of wisdom, the utterance of knowledge, the utterance of faith and healing and working miracles and prophecy, the discernment of spirits, various kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. These fruits and gifts are not of our own achievement. You can't make them up. They are, and others are, the gifts of the work and workings of the Holy Spirit by grace in our faith in Jesus Christ. And they are not given for personal gain. No, there's much more deeper purpose for them. And through these fruits and gifts, the Holy Spirit empowers us for the ministry in this world to build the kingdom of God and make your life happier than ever before. So let's go and be poor before our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. I think something to take home is we are to seek deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit who is leading the church. And guess what? He doesn't have no objections for us to be very deep in the life of the Holy Spirit in this church. No. No, sir, no, ma'am. He enjoyed to hear that from us, and he said, I've been here all the way to help you, to lead you deeper. Let's pray together before we pray a little bit more later. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we are so thankful that you have given us Holy Spirit, and we can all be filled with the Holy Spirit. We can all receive gifts. We can all grow fruit toward your kingdom, to minister to one another, and to reach out for our community with the message of grace and love and power that come from Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. We continue our worship time by the ministry of giving, so if the ushers can come forward.